Welcome to Insecure the Podcast, and I'm your insecure as fuck ass host, Chloe Beck. And if you're here, you're queer, or you love my queer storytelling, and today I have a story to tell you. Now, I successfully completed season one. I successfully completed the 12 days of Podmas, and I wanted to take some time for myself before I jumped back to the microphone and really began to crank out all of my insecurities for you all to be all in my business. But the universe, life, the world continuously being on fire kind of forced me to come back to talk about one of my insecurities that I really do like to keep to myself. And those of you who are watching on YouTube, because your girl is streaming on YouTube now, so you can also listen, watch, rate, like, subscribe, share, do all those things in this 2021 new year. One of my biggest insecurities in my entire life, one that I keep to myself and don't really want to discuss or share with the culture because the culture does not care, is that I am extremely patriotic. I, Chloe blank, no middle name, Beck, am a patriot. I love America. I have been a fan and a stan of these United States since I can remember. And the events that happened on the Capitol has gone ahead and did the thing. Those things, it has done the thing that I can no longer be silent about. And I have to sit here and talk to you about how I have to work through what it's like to be a patriotic black gay woman in America. Okay, black gay woman in America who what loves America. Stings. If you've been living under a rock, or you from Iraq or wherever the hell, I even think they probably are looking and laughing at us, you will know that a few days ago we had a coup attempt at the Capitol, where a bunch of racist neo-Nazis, police officers who were sworn to protect and serve their racist whiteness, stormed the Capitol after that thing told them to do so, to try to take back the vote while we were going to do what? Approve and count and recount. And I don't know how many times Joe Biden can win the same election. Talk about being in your Leanne LaHavis Not only has this man stayed in his lane and won the presidency, but he's been sworn in damn near already and is still having to be told he's officially won again and again and again, because we have an idiot who currently sits in the most important seat I've ever known to exist, telling his Klansmen, women, and they and thems that the election was stolen, and there's this big media cover up and all this shit, and they have done something that has ruined our democracy. They have done something that has literally, it's just, you cannot fix it. Irreconcilable. They have done something terrible. They have ruined this country, our reputation, our sanctity, these monuments, which I know my ancestors were slaves and forced to build. But these same places that they have walked through, desecrated, just, I can't even have the language of the words of how shitty and terrible and just unreal what has been transpiring, because white people don't know how to take a what L. If you haven't heard about what an L is, you can go to Insecure the Podcast Presents the 12 Days of Podmas episode 11, where I discuss my 11 L's. But no L, no sneakers app L will ever feel like the L that I feel in my heart right now. And I just have to just talk about it. So before I can even get into what actually happened, I have to tell you why. You're probably like, Chloe, how can you be a black gay woman in America who's also plus sized and say that you love America when America literally rapes, murders, beats, kills you in your sleep every night, and say her name, Breonna Taylor. Breonna Taylor. I'm wearing a hat that says arrest the cops that kill Breonna Taylor. The juxtaposition of this is that, like, when I'm looking at myself in this camera, I look like one of those people who stormed the Capitol. I look like one of those red-blooded NASCAR Budweiser stereotypical West Virginia looking racist white people. But the truth is, I am a proud black woman in America. I'm proud of this country. I have always been proud of it, because just like the Bible is a slave tool, Democracy has been a slave tool. Pledging to the allegiance has been a slave tool. And me as a little kid respecting and praying for field trips to go to the very place that I saw these Neanderthals destroy has created this love for this country, because America's the place. I've always seen America through the eyes of, we are the big brother. We are the place that people fight and kill and pray and work and do all this stuff to get here, because we are the great nation. We are the United States, but we are not. And we never have been. And the one thing I will say is thank you to Donald J. Trump for showing me the truth in a way that I cannot unsee it. Oprah Winfrey says it starts with a whisper. It was a whisper when they shot Trayvon. It was a whisper when they shot Tamir. It was a whisper and a whisper when they, just keep going. Name the names. They were all whispers. And I, Chloe Beck, was like, circumstantial. It's unfair. It sucks, but that's just one person. It's just this thing. I made it make sense for my body because my brain wasn't prepared to do what I have to do here today. But while those black bodies, while those brown bodies, while those trans bodies, while I can't seem to get my foot off my own neck in a country that continues to keep me in the shackles of what I'm supposed to be as a black gay woman, all those were whispers. But Capitol Hill, you know, it's nothing like seeing a white person fuck up white shit to realize that white people really don't give a fuck. Like, I've always known that white people in theory don't give a fuck about black people, or that the system has been created in a way that they don't even have to think about. Do they give a fuck about white black people? Do they have to check in on, like, am I racist today? Am I benefiting from racist shit? Am I? I always understood that it's not their burden to bear. They didn't ask to be born white. They didn't ask for the privilege. And like, no sane person would give their privilege away. I would never give my privilege away of being educated, being funny, being smart, being sexy to some of you people. I would never give away that privilege. So God forbid, why would I expect a white person to give away their whiteness? But I always expected that they respected the country the way in which I did. You know, here I am. If I can be a black gay woman who is at the bottom, the only person lower than me is a black gay trans or a trans black woman in my eyes. And if I can still love this country the way I'm loving it, like I'm wearing a shirt, an American flag shirt that I've always loved, always wanted. It's been thrifted. It still has the tags on it because I'm embarrassed to wear it. I'm scared to wear it. I don't want the ridicule and judgment to wear because so many people are woke, or so many people are like, fuck this country, fuck this country, fuck this country. And I am one of those people who say, I just be like, hey, if this country's so terrible, you can leave. And I say that to domestic people. I say that to foreign people. I say that to anybody, because if this country is so terrible, what a privilege it is to even say your country is terrible. Because in some countries, if you speak about the country, they will cut your tongue out. So that's this both and that I'm struggling with, because while I know America is shit, it will never be not shit. I will die probably under this regime of white patriarchal racist heteronormative fuck you if you're black, die already shit. It's still better than some of these other countries that now get to laugh at us. It is still, I would not want to be a black gay woman in a lot of other places, and I am comfortably doing so here, even in the discomfort of the truth. So I just always thought, and I say all that to say, I fully am not ignorant to the truth. But I just chose to lean into my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. I chose to lean into the feelings I feel when Whitney Elizabeth Houston sang the Star Spangled Banner at the fucking Super Bowl. I choose to remember the first experience I ever had with being a proud Democratic person. The first memory that I have thinking about politics and presidents and policies and all that stuff, I was a kindergartner and I took Cleveland, Ohio's paper, The Plain Dealer. I took my grandmother's copy. I was so excited to take this copy to my kindergarten teacher's class, Miss Polinsky. And to this day, I cannot spell that, so I can't even search her. I can't even find her. But one day I know she'll hear me. Miss Polinsky, I'm going to bring you in like Oprah brought in her teacher. Nigga, don't even worry about it. She was a white woman. Don't worry about that either. I just pray she is not a Karen, or was not a Karen, or I was too young to be Karen because she cared about me. I took The Plain Dealer. Little Chloe, took The Plain Dealer to school one day. And the day I took The Plain Dealer to school was the day the first Monday, I believe, or the Wednesday. Looking at the dates, I don't know. But I took the plain dealer to school and it said that Bill Clinton, president-elect. I was so proud. Bill Clinton, president-elect at kindergarten. What is that, five? Because I saw how happy my mom and my grandmother, my grandfather, my aunts and my uncles were. I saw them be so ecstatic about Bill Clinton because I guess under the regime of whomever his predecessor was, probably a Bush, it's always a Bush. But that is when it began, this pride for this country, right? And then you learn about these huge monuments and these people that they erect and all these things that they did about, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation. Or you learn that money that gets you to buy candy and treats and cookies and sunflower seeds and hostess cakes adorned by presidents. Now, before I could even understand that a president is just a figurehead and Congress and judicial and all the shit that I still don't remember because it's one of those things that Chloe doesn't remember, like legislative, judicial. I don't remember that shit. But when I think about the things I knew to be true is that the White House was where all those things happened and they were sacred. And if you got to go on a field trip to these places, you did so with respect, with order. No gum in your mouth, no drink on your person, no touching, no breathing, just going and witnessing and seeing. That's what I thought of. Until this coup, all shit aside, like you guys, those of you who know me know that I'm telling you nothing but the truth, because the ways in which I panic when I see a flag on the ground or a flag that is still being flown, that is tattered, or the fact that at probably 250 pounds in my whole high school career, I was a member of NJROTC, Naval Junior Reserves Officer Training Corps. I wanted to be a Marine. The few, the proud, devil dogs with extreme motivation. That was me. And that was at the time when George Bush, the one that is in love with Michelle Obama, was in office, and he was the Honorable George W. Bush. And I remember being the epitome of proud that I was this close to the military in terms of me being in ROTC on September 11th. That whole day, all I wanted to do was get to my ROTC class so I could talk to Commander Forrester and Gunny Sergeant Thomas. Those are the two people I wanted to talk to because no, all these civilians, they don't know. They don't know. I got to get close to these military men. I got to find out what's going on in my country. Do I need this boot up? Is it time? Do I get to go? Am I about to be drafted? And I should have known then that was a whisper, because when I finally got to their class on September 11th, it was the last class of the day. I'm seeing all these people get picked up and taken out of here and panic and panic and panic. And because my mom is my mom, she's like, bitch, you could take the bus home. I don't think Osama bin Laden is going to take the number 14 bus down in Cleveland. I think you're safe. She was right. I got to their class and they were just laughing. They were smiling about it. They were not upset. They were not infuriated. They were just chill about it. And I should have known that there's a little bit of that Olivia Pope shit right there, because how can these men who told me to 135 fold that flag and stand at attention and salute officers and no covers on in the room, and your girl was actually an officer. I was administrative officer, lieutenant, junior grade, third highest cadet in the whole program, even as a fat bitch who couldn't pass the PT test. I was on color guard. I led parades. You hear me? I won drill competitions. You hear me? I have trophies for this shit. I am the world's greatest, you know, like I won cadet MVP, bitch. I was the original Cadet Kelly. Okay. It was me. And I have loved this country since I can remember. I have respected the rules and the order, and I have just done it right. Once again, this is where I catch myself in realizing you've done it right, and it still does not protect you because you still are a Black gay woman. And now I have to say it's because you're a Black gay woman who loves a place that could never love you because it don't even love itself. I have to break up with America, and it is devastating to me because I still believe. You know, I get Anne Frank. I get it. I used to think that was such a dumb quote. In spite of it all, I still think there's good in the world. In spite of it all, I still think America's great. And I'm so mad that asshole owns that slogan. I'm so mad that he has the market. And I'm so mad he picked it because Make America Great Again. When I hear that, taking him out of it, when I hear, I love a good slogan. I am a bitch that you can trick into buying anything if you market it well. And when I hear Make America Great Again or Keep America Great Again or just the pomp and circumstance around his campaign, I see how this has happened. Because even me, who's so far left to where he is and where his terrorists reside, I do just want to make America great again. I do believe I am the American dream. I hate that this is where both and doesn't feel right. I hate that I feel like I can't be a proud, woke Black woman and a patriotic, respectful, God bless America, 50 fucking stars and stripes. I hate that I feel like I can't be both. And while I was dealing with this silently, this has been my silent struggle. When I tell you, you can ask my partner. This shirt that I'm wearing, it is like on the right side, it's like the stripe or the stars. So it's like a blue shoulder, bomb ass white stars. On the other side, it's red. And then on all the way down, it's the red and white stripes. It's an American flag shirt. Every 4th of July, I put it on. Every Memorial Day, I put it on. Every Labor Day, I put it on. For Halloween, I put it on because I was going to go as The Purge. Made sense, because remember when The Purge was just a movie or foreshadowing? Remember that? So... But then I realized that the way I present, the way I look, it seems like the only people who can really love America have to either be sworn in to do so via military and elected officials, or you have to be these staunch idiot Republican racist neo-Nazi inbred trash, the gutter of the gutter, but you still have what white privilege because you have what white skin. So I have struggled with my patriotism. I am a closeted, I'm a closeted patriot. Oh, it stings, guys. And I say all that to say, watching what I saw on TV just shattered that kindergarten Chloe who brought that plain dealer to her kindergarten class. Because I always thought that place was sacred to everyone because we all respected it the same way. We all understood that while politically we don't have to agree, and that's something you learn. And it's when I say being a patriot is a slave tool and loving America is a slave tool, like I had this conversation with my partner and another partner about how I think it's so interesting that they can have like a strong historical disdain for a country. Like they're from Haiti and we were talking about the DR and they're like, oh, I don't really mess with the DR. And I was like, who hurt you? Thinking it's like they fucked the bitch and it didn't go well. They're like, no, in 1742. And I'm like, oh, you guys have a historical, you guys can hold a drama and a beef from ancestral. Like you guys are like in that dynasty shit. Like, oh, nigga, y'all killed us in 1720. So we still ain't sitting with y'all here in 2021. And I said something to them. I was like, what a, wow. First, I was in shock. I was like, wow. I was like, what an honor it must be able to opt out of your oppressors. Because here, I could say, oh, I don't fuck with white people because of slavery and Middle Passage and da 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 da. But I don't get the option to opt out of whiteness. I don't get the option to opt out of America. Fuck America. They stole me from the bush. I don't get to do that because I live here. Not only did they rape, murder, kill, drag us over here, but then they fed us with their shit, which is probably the reason why I'm having a mental breakdown, because I literally had to say out loud, like, it's okay that they're ruining this building. Think about your ancestors who built it, who weren't allowed to go in it or weren't allowed to breathe or weren't allowed to do this. And it's one of those both and moments. Yes, my ancestors built this entire country. My ancestors built the world, bitch. Black. Come on, I don't have to do that. We built it. We built this city, state, country, town, universe. Because of my sorority sister, we got you bitches to space. Black people, we are it. We are the thread. We are the thread on the flag. We are the thread on the stripes. We are the thread in this universe. I get that part, but we don't get to say, fuck you, you did us wrong. So when I saw them go into these buildings, I'm shattered because I'm just like, ah. I realized in that moment, once again, how many, I'm not even a second class citizen. What's under that? Third, fourth, fifth, not even a citizen. You might as well just take them from me because I am no longer a citizen because I can't, on a casual calm day, pre-COVID, pre-Trump, I couldn't have even answered my fucking cell phone in the Capitol building. Cause if I'd have touched it, they'd have said it was a gun and I'd have got shot. I don't understand. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Having this Band-Aid or this bandage or this blindfold or this, I am so tired of waking up. The one thing they don't tell you about when you wake up or you get woke, they always tell you, you don't go to sleep. Like once you woke or once you know something, you can't unknow it. That part I get. But what you don't realize is that once you're awakened to one thing, it doesn't stop. It's not like, oh, I'm woke to pollution, but I am dead asleep to racism. Like if you're going to be a conscious person who cares, or if I have to speak for me, because some people can compartmentalize and only care about what they care about. But it seems like with me in real time through this COVID pandemic and all this alone time and all this trauma and all this murder and abuse and history shit. In real time, layer after layer after layer after layer after layer. And it's eating away at everything I held to be true. And it's making me not really know who I am anymore in terms of the center of what I stood on and what I believed in, what I knew to be true. And while I said it on a few episodes back, everything I thought I stood firm on a year ago has changed. I never thought that the standing, my thoughts and my beliefs about the sanctity and the sacredness of those halls and those people who create the policies and affirm the next president. And I am shocked. I am shocked. Because if I can love all of this shit as a white or as a black Freudian slip, if I can love all this shit as me, I'm like, of course they love it. Cause they, not only do they get to love it, they get to engage with it. They get to feel free. This shit is for them. I am just getting to witness the things that they can go into and break and touch. And five people died because of this dumb shit. Now, I don't want to talk about how many people probably died in the protests, how many people died when they were marching for freedom, how many people died, you know, we don't want to talk about that shit. I'm still not over the four girls who died in Selma, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But this just goes to show that when you have that much privilege, things aren't a privilege to you because they belong to you. And that's what those white people showed me and the three blacks that they made sure to get on camera and the 14 Mexicans and whichever other people identities they wanted to make sure you knew were present. But to know that I don't know how Make America Great Again manifested itself into doing what I saw. And furthermore, I am beyond distraught about the fact that my sorority sister Kamala Harris and vice president, and I'm sorry, president-elect, former vice president, Joe Biden, don't get this historical inauguration. As someone, to be fully transparent, I was going to go to DC. I was going to risk it. I was going to do the COVID shit. My Etsy cart has been filled to the brim with AKA stuff, just ready to push the trigger. But I knew on January 1 that I was not going to make it because the new strain of COVID, and I'm still nowhere in line for the vaccine. Don't know if I should take the vaccine because, speaking of building this country, we also build these labs and you all do what? Infect us with syphilis and Tuskegee. So now we're scared to take a regular vitamin if it comes intravenously. Unfortunately, the only thing black people are comfortable putting in their vein is crack, because we can go down that line again, but we're not there yet. So I am heartbroken because this is history. When I tell you Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated would have shown up and showed out for Kamala on this day that is so close to the end, to our anniversary, January 15th, 1908, January is our year. our month, I'm sorry, we were going to show up, show out, get buses, do the thing, and then COVID. We're like, some of us are like, you know what, we still gonna ride or die. We ride or die. We're gonna go. We're gonna do it. But then the thing that I just saw on Capitol Hill lets me not believe that there is no way in hell that the inauguration will be safe. There's no way in hell. I don't even think they should do it. Because if these people have showed us in real time, they don't give a single fuck about this country, about the rules, about the order, about history, about respect. So you mean to tell me that I'm supposed to think that the way that they had the Capitol under control, the same Capitol, like I keep seeing it, and it jars me every time when that black woman did a U-turn, they shot and killed her. But these niggas is helping geriatric racist bitches down the fucking stairs. Push that bitch. But you won't push that bitch because you're probably her nephew. Or you agree with why she's there. Oh, it's how, and it's like, it's one of those things of like, okay, we see it. Oh, how many times? We know for a fact that this was a Black Lives Matter. This wouldn't have happened. Duh. Now what? Now what? Oh, they opened the door. Duh. Just like they opened fire and killed Breonna Taylor. Just like they opened fire on a 13-year-old boy playing in a park by himself before they even got out the fucking car in Cleveland, Ohio. Duh, duh, duh. How am I supposed to truly believe that everybody who's in the White House or sworn to protect and do XYZ are really going to have Kamala's back? Really going to make sure that this goes off smoothly? You got this fucking idiot saying he's not even coming. He refuses to acknowledge his defeat. And for the first time in the history of changing of the office, this fucker will not even show up. I am just sad. I'm just sad. I'm sad, guys, because America, like I get it. Star Spangled Banner, the verse that was missed. And that's the thing. I'm also just jarred by how we pick and choose to point out which parts of cancel culture we're going to sign up for. Like, oh my God, do you guys know the Star Spangled Banner was written and it's racist? Everything is racist. The money you spend is racist. The niggas who's on it is racist. The Capitol building itself was racist. Hello, like all of this is racist, but it's so crazy how pop culture really leans in on what we can and cannot accept. You know, everybody and their mama, oh, fuck it, Juneteenth. But I can guarantee you on the 4th of July, all y'all niggas done been to a barbecue. All y'all niggas be fucking it up. All y'all niggas like fireworks. So stop it. Either we hate it all or we love it all. I'm not cherry picking which parts I'm gonna subscribe to. I'm just done. And I say that saying that I am no longer going to be ashamed of my patriotism, but now I have to understand how I need it to fit in my new normal. How maybe I don't need to stop in my tracks to pick up flags anymore. Or maybe how these are just buildings and while I'm not gonna go touch them because I still am a black body that will get shot. I'd have got shot 6 miles out fucking around. If we all agreed to a Black Lives Matter protest on that exact same day to celebrate that this was going to be the day that Joe Biden for the 55th time is a president. If they had found out about that, we could have got shot and killed on the highway on our way there. Not even knowing that that's where we're going because we're just getting black and pulled over. So it's one of those things of like, how can I keep living in closets? Like, the world is telling me get out. If, as much as the world has opened up my eyes to so many truths that I just chose to ignore, I need to stop hiding. But now I say it again, I really have to figure out what it looks like to be this patriot, because I have so much to say. Like, shame on them. How could they? But this is the America that exists because of them, so of course they could. How could they not have any remorse for what happened to George Floyd? How could they not see how somebody should be held accountable for Breonna Taylor's murder? How in the fuck can a police officer looking away put 5-6 bullets in a man's back who paralyzes him? Pop, 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 pop. And the charges get dropped. How? Because we're black. So if all of this can happen to blacks, at the hands of whites, or approval because of the hands of white oppressive systems that I'm sitting here trying to understand why I still care so much about them. White people will do whatever the fuck they want to do, and it's okay. It's white. If you are a white person, kudos to you. Honestly, I say more white people should exercise their whiteness. Fuck it. The same way I'm no longer going to be a closeted American patriot. Stop being a closeted white. Go be white. Go be white. Do the whitest shit that you can do, because nothing's going to happen to you except you might accidentally get killed like that one white Trump bitch. Who gives a fuck? No sympathy. No RIP. No, you calculated risk, dumb bitch. The same way she got shot and killed, that's exactly what it feels like when you get shot and killed in your sleep just by picking the wrong apartment to live in 6 years before the shooting happened. Like, I don't have sympathy. Have no remorse. Oh, woe is me. Don't give a fuck. Six more people should have got shot. It should have been a massacre, because if those are black and brown bodies, it would have been. So for white friends and white foes, enjoy your whiteness. I would. If I could Black Mirror wake up, and if I could wake up with the skin that matches this outfit, hold my beer, okay? Because I'm out here doing the whitest of white shit because it looks like fun. I couldn't fathom. When I say Chloe Beck could not chew gum on the steps of the Capitol, and these motherfuckers then came in with bombs and Confederate flags and looking like a fucking walkie wookie plushie sex toy, and you so fucking old you can't even walk down the stairs, but the hate that you have in your heart fueled you to get up to motherfuckers, suck my dick. I go be white. Go do the white things. Do the white thing. Be white. It almost seems like if you're not doing the crazy white shit that I saw in the news, you're wasting your whiteness, because all the people who speak out on our behalf, all the tweets, all the this, all the that, nothing's going to change this. Nothing's going to change this. As long as those type of people exist and they continue to have offspring and they continue to pass this hatred, this ignorance into their DNA, people like this will always exist. They're being bred every day. And now I'm struggling with, once again, along with struggling with wanting to have kids in general, because look at shit like this. I don't want my kid to learn about this. I don't want my kid to know about this. We're not going to do this. This episode is not about being a kid. It's about being a patriot kid who is in crisis. And it just sucks. It fucking sucks. It makes no sense. But I'm not surprised. I'm shocked that that thing did not create a ripple in all these other cities, towns and states. I just assume that every Trump supporter would just come out the woodwork and this would literally be the purge. This would be the race war that Charles Manson was begging for. Like, this is Donald Trump is the Antichrist. This is the end of times. Like, how do you repair this? How do you say, oh, that one thing happened? You guys just showed us in real time. You showed all our allies, all our enemies. You showed anybody who was remotely kind of low key. I don't fuck with them niggas, but now we look dumb. Bomb us, because we look dumb. How are you the United States of America? You are the most powerful country in the world, which we all know that's a lie because we're in so much debt. But how are you this place where people are willing to drown in order to swim here or hide in shit to get here or like be here illegally because this is so much better than where they're from? And this is what we just showed them? You will never get me to have the honor and the joy and the prestige I used to feel every time I walked into DC proper. That has been stolen. Those are just buildings now. Put some graffiti on them. Fuck it. It does not matter. And once again, while I am pissed that I had to wake up this way, it's better to know that things are just things. You know, to be fully transparent, I care more about Middle Collegiate Church than I give a fuck about any of those buildings, but society has told me it should be the other way around because separate church and state, right? But I, you know, the day that happened, I got a little drunk and I played the Whitney Houston Star Spangled Banner video on YouTube, and I just wept because it just feels like an end of an era for me. It feels like I am just, and maybe that's what's supposed to happen. Maybe this is what a wake up is supposed to feel like. Like you're supposed to say, like you're supposed to unearth it, like let it go, take it off. You know, how can you love a country that hates you because you don't have a choice? I don't know. Like, how can you be successful as a black body hating this place and being vocal about it when I grew up? You don't get to say you hate America. You don't get to say fuck the flag. You don't get to say suck my dick, president. You know, when I grew up, now on social media, like I watch people tweet. Well, you can't tweet them anymore because permanently blocked on Twitter. But like the access to these elected officials and the ways in which we communicate to them just never thought it never seemed respectful to me. And I feel like me breaking up with America in this way makes me disrespectful. And that's just what I have to unpack and work through and just try to understand. But I will even say, like, hearing people or watching people or looking at people's tweets say fuck them to stay fought, or like the casualness of people like, oh, look at them, they mad, da 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 da. And I'm like, so y'all don't realize what building they're damaging. Y'all don't realize what happens in this building. Y'all don't give a fuck about. But how could you, when that same building is the building that signed a check that says, even though we've been in a pandemic for one fucking calendar year almost, here's $600, nigga, go buy some Yeezys. You see how it goes back and forth? Like, it's so hard to rationalize in real time about this. And it is, I want better for my life. I want better for my country. But I have to admit today that I don't think it'll come. I'm no longer going to play Otis Redding, the change is going to come when there's the next black body. I'm no longer going to play I wish I knew how it felt to be free, because we'll never be free. I'm never going to play. I am never going to just be so proud to be here. What they did just made me ungrateful. And I've been working so hard to be grateful. But how can you be grateful when you see just what privilege looks like to that magnitude? Like I keep saying, I understood it on a micro level. Like, okay, one off Breonna Taylor, one off Trayvon Martin, one off, one off, one off, one off, one off, one off, one off. But then to see white people break up some white shit that is for white people because they're mad that their white vote. I can't believe white people got mad because some white shit happened that didn't benefit for a group of whites. Don't they realize, even in the grand scheme of things, even if your president is a Democrat, you still get to be the white racist fuck that you are. These Trumpers are going to be Trumpers for the next 4 years. And then when his son decides he's going to run, once they get rid of the college rapes that probably happened and all the bullshit that he's done in his life, Trumpers are not done. Like you still get to be this ignorant, this rude, this messy, this nasty, this murderous, no matter who the president is. And that's the part that blows my high. I'm like, y'all are mad, but y'all still won. Democrat, Republican, if you're a white man, white woman, white person, it's all the same for you all. So why y'all so mad? Why did y'all have to hurt our history in this way? Like, was that the goal? Was that the plan? Like, what was next? Like, what was actually supposed to happen after that? Like, y'all was just gonna hold it down till more came, and then y'all kept coming. Like, I don't understand the logic, and that's because there was none. There was none. This entire campaign, this entire 4 years with this clown has just been illogical. This entire past year, what the fuck was logic, right? Like, what the fuck was logic? What? Yeah. So Washington, D.C. is no longer this place that it has always been in my heart. To see that the Pentagon and the National Guard and to see that the president can literally say, go fight, it's going to be wild or whatever the fuck. I'm gonna head out. Like, I'm gonna just have to opt out. I opt out of being a patriot for a while. I cannot see it. So now it's just, it has really turned me into a capitalist friendly person. Like, the reason why I love America is because I know one day I could potentially stumble into some shit and become the next Jeff Bezos, because happenstance, right? Like, when I say I want an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony, that is the part of America I like, because any old body can do it. You know, a lot of these things, while rigged and Oscar so white and Grammys, and you don't own this and you don't do that, you can slice out your piece of the pie, even though it's still going to be racist, sexist, classist, homophobic. Fuck it. I don't want to make the world a better place for everybody. I want to make the world a better place for me. So whatever the fuck Chloe Beck got to do to make it better for her so she can live her best quarantine life forever, because this fucking pandemic is never going to end, because fuckers don't believe in the vaccine. The vaccine don't believe in the vaccine. The virus don't believe in the vaccine because another strain is coming. And fun fact, even if you get the vaccine, that doesn't like eradicate you from being super ill or how many of you all have gotten a flu shot and they're like, oh, this strain of the flu, this shot ain't for. Pew, pew. So this world is fucked. And when I say this word, I want you guys to know that I do mean the entire world. But when I say this word, I think of the United States, because the United States has been my world. So the United States is fucked. I'm just trying to find the best place to be fucked here at the best price point, with the best career, with the best life, with the best drugs. Because at this point, fuck it. Fuck it. If they don't give a fuck, it does nothing for me to give a fuck. Here I am assimilating to the American dream, to liken myself to whiteness, because that's what we're all doing. Anytime we buy into any one of these systems, it's a likening ourselves to white and right. Here I am trying to be like, well, like that little meme where they say, is it a riot or a protest when they hold it up against Peter Griffin? Here I am trying to be like, is she American enough? Does she know this? Is she okay? Does she vote? Is she black? Is she gay? But she's smart. She knows how to fold the flag. She cares. She believes in. She doesn't step on the grass. She for fucking 2 years, I had to say the Honorable George W. Bush. Honorable George W. Bush, Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld. You know, I knew my orders to the century. Walk my post in a military manner, keeping always on the alert, observing everything that takes place inside her hearing. Receive, obey, and pass on to the century who released me every order from the command deck, the officer of the day, officer of the day, and petty officer on the watch. I know my shit. I know my shit about this country, and what the fuck does it matter? Because people who can't even read did what they did. Them fuckers probably thought they were at the White House. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? God, I used to love, I love order. Like there's, you know, I have an assignment from my therapist, and she wants me to recount why it is that I am so involved with a case, or the case that I was on, a really traumatic case, which I'm definitely going to chronicle in an episode. And I talked about casually about how I remember everything about the case, and I remember certain addresses, and when I'm in different parts of the city, I remember. She told me to kind of chronicle why I hold on to so many pieces of the case, or like why that time in my life was a time that I look back on fondly. And the truth is because I had law and order. When you're a juror on a trial, that's a trial, every second is accounted for. And it was the closest I had felt to being in the military since I was in ROTC. I like order. I like being told what to do and know that I do it, and I give my gold star and I move on to do it the next day. I enjoy living life that way, believe it or not. And when I think about what it's like to be someone who chooses to protect and serve this country, no matter what branch of the service, I was always going to be Navy and Marine, because that's what I was bred up in. Family, all my family members were Navy people, few Army, but I like turtles. I like water and the Marine uniform. And being a Marine is the sexiest thing I've ever seen in my life. Man, woman, indifferent. Marines all day, every day. But I just had such honor to know. Like when you really know your military shit, like military time, which I struggle with it today, but like military time and being able to know like the chain of command and orders of the command, and like knowing the secretary of this and the secretary of that, and like knowing that once you get this and you become a 5-star general when it's in wartime, like all the shit that you know is like, as a kid who doesn't have a lot of foundations in my life in terms of family and historically, because like unlike Haiti, I can't say you guys stole me from the third bush to the left in Ghana, wherever the fuck I'm from, because who knows? When you find out things like this that you can recite and know and be locked into a different part of the country that most people aren't, it felt great. And then the attack on Capitol Hill happened. So all the shit that I know, a know-it-all who knows nothing at all. And what I do know is that I just had to get this off my chest, and I just want you guys to take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and find your truth and own it. And just know that while America is what it is and it always feels like it's on fire and it doesn't matter, like I know each and every one of us we wake up a little too ungrateful about where we are allowed to be and hate it. Because there are some places where girls can't even get tampons or a book or life. So America. Dear America, I've loved you my entire life. I loved you through my hurt. I've loved you more in my happiness. And when I was uncertain, I loved you because you've afforded me the space to not be sure. But today, America, I need a break. It's not you. It's me. I thank you for our good times. I thank you for our bad times. I thank you for everything you've allowed me to experience here. And while I know we will always have mutual friends and mutual connections, I don't think we necessarily need to be together in this way anymore. I never thought I would break up with you. But in this year of me loving and learning and letting go of what no longer serves me, you've shown me that it no longer serves me to serve you. And on that note, guys, I gotta go. Until next time, I'm your insecure as fuck ass host, Chloe Beck, and you are listening to Insecure the Podcast. Be well.